stuff as we get you going here on a busy Friday afternoon. Along with Adrian Broaddus, Alicia Barone hanging out as well. I'm Steve Kaplow. It's good to have you back. 600 ESPN El Paso. Our number, 505-6009. Tweet us, 600 ESPN El Paso. You can also message us on our mobile app powered by First American Bank. Three ways to get right on in and through to the program. Have a good show lined up for you today. In fact, we're going to say hello to the Foss, Steve Foster and Chris Fernandez momentarily when they join us live from Kansas City. Day two of the NFL draft, which starts in less than an hour. Adrian, I think it's safe to say that pandemonium, the best way to describe what happened last night in KC.
Yeah, six different trades across the first round of the NFL draft. It featured four different wide receivers being taken consecutively. It took three quarterbacks in the first round, which was lower than a lot of people expected to happen on the first night of the draft. A lot of surprises, a lot of really good winners out of yesterday's draft. So a lot to talk about here on the show today.
Yep, I agree with you. A lot to talk about. There are some winners, by the way. There are definitely some winners. The Philadelphia Eagles, look at you. Trading up to go get Jalen Carter. All it cost was a fourth-round pick? Are you kidding? You saw what some teams were trading and giving up yesterday, especially the Texans. How did Philly do that and get up to get him in with just a fourth-round pick?
Yeah, it's very impressive. I know that the Bears still need to really upgrade their roster, so they figure maybe the fourth round they're able to get somebody who can play or maybe come off and play for them eventually throughout the season. But regardless, having Jalen Carter fall to you if you're the Eagles right there is an absolute blessing. They drafted last year Nakobe Dean and Jordan Carter. Jordan Carter, by the way, Steve, I passed him last year when we were out in Vegas for the draft, and I remember that he looked every bit of his frame. He's over 300 pounds. I think he's over 6'6". He might be 6'8". But Jordan Davis last year, one of the premier defensive tackles, and now to pair him up with Jalen Carter on that defensive line and then getting Nolan Smith at pick number 31. Nolan Smith was projected by some people to go to Philadelphia at 10 overall to begin with. And the fact that he fell all the way to 31, the fact that they have four Georgia guys over the past 2 years in the two rounds, that's amazing right there for the Eagles.
Oh, man, you're right. 100%. 100%. So, the Steelers kick off round two. They get to pick from Chicago to lead it off. Then you've got the Cardinals, the Lions, the Colts, and the Rams. Do you think Will Levis ends up in L.A. when it's all said and done?
I would be happy about it. I would like it. It would be different from what the Rams have done in years past. Let's be honest. The recent years, we don't talk about the Rams even drafting in the first or second rounds because they've traded for guys like Jalen Ramsey, guys like Allen Robinson, guys like Odell Beckham Jr. That's the fact that the Rams even have this pick coming up, a pick number 5 in the second round, is pretty special. I'm curious if they actually spend it on a quarterback and think that it's time to maybe think of life after Matthew Stafford for the Rams.
Don't you think the Lions either get him at 34 or the Rams at 36?
You know what? It's interesting. There's a lot of candidates that you could talk yourself into getting Will Levis here early on in the second round. I could make an argument that Will Levis could be a good backup to Kenny Pickett behind the Steelers.
Oh, don't get Chris Fernandez excited. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I could also make the argument for the Arizona Cardinals. They need a standalone quarterback or a stand-in quarterback now while they wait for Kyler Murray. He's going to be out for a lot of the season. Even the Seahawks, beyond the top five picks in the second round, they'd be an interesting landing spot, knowing what kind of firepower they added with Jackson Smith and Ejigba yesterday.
Yep. How about the Vegas Raiders at 38? I could see that too.
They were projected by a lot of people in mocks to like him in the first round, although they chose not to pick him. They went with Tyree Wilson in the first round. I'd be curious if they think, hey, if we get Will Levis dropping to us in the second round, let's take him. Let's pick him right here.
Does he stay in the green room, or do you think he bolts today and when he gets drafted, you don't see him at all?
I kind of heard he was out of Kansas already, and he was not going to be there tonight, which I am happy for him that he will not be there tonight.
Wasn't it weird watching him surrounding himself with his family and essentially just every time the camera showed him, it was kind of creepy, right?
Yeah, it was very awkward. I would hate to be like his family and just be in the cameras and just kind of sit there and smile.
Yeah, I would too. I would too. Yeah, it's all he could do. So, you know, and the fact is the toe injury scared people. Maybe the attitude scares people too. I don't know. But every time they were showing him, yeah, you just kept looking and wondering, man, this guy could have gone 4. He could have gone to Indy at 4, and instead he slid completely out of the first round.
You know, last year Malik Willis was the talk, Steve. It was like, hey, how early could he go in the first round, if you remember? And last year everybody was saying, wow, he fell all the way to the second round. And then it became the third round. So it's weird that we talk up a lot of these draft guys, and it's hard to believe certain sources, and then it's you know, easier to believe others. But here with Will Levis, now we're having to maybe see which teams he actually visited with. Before, you know, during the pre-draft process to maybe find a landing spot for him.
Yep, I agree with you. And then he's on his phone and all freaked out by the whole thing. And, you know, you watch his family there too, and they're checking it out also. And yeah, I mean, this is. And by the way, you're right. He left Kansas City. He is not going to be there on day two. So that is a, you know, that's a good point. Interesting. Very, very interesting. And his agent is Jimmy Sexton, who, by the way, is a very high-profile agent in the NFL.
That's what makes me so confused by all of this. I don't understand how he fell out of the first round. I think there was even stats by ESPN Analytics for their draft coverage. They were like, it was like 99% likely that he would at least go in the first round, based on everybody's predictions, based on the sources that I guess they reached out to or contacted. But I'm shocked that Will Levis fell out of the first round.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. And by the way, here's what Will Levis said at the Kentucky Pro Day, and I quote, "If I get invited and I know I'll be a pretty high pick, I'll definitely go. I don't want to go if I'm going to be a second-round pick, you know? Don't want all the cameras on you all day." That's what he said at the Kentucky Pro Day.
Yeah, that's kind of weird to say that so early. I think it's a little bit of like his personality coming out and just thinking he was going to get picked. And I know he did get invited, but I just wouldn't be that confident. It makes you look bad when this happens.
Yeah, it does. It sure does. I also wonder if Jimmy Sexton's going to still be his agent when it's all said and done. Kind of wondering about that, aren't you?
Yeah, he's probably really upset about that agent and all the fees that he's going to have to pay once he finally gets drafted. Yeah, there's a lot of good candidates still, Steve. There's a lot of teams who still need a quarterback. Now, if you're telling me that Will Levis is going to be a surefire quarterback, I'm going to push back on that, because there's no surefire quarterback out of this current draft class, maybe outside of Bryce Young, but even him, we have some question marks on.
No, that's true. That is true. And by the way, over the years, Sexton's represented guys like Reggie White, Scottie Pippen, Bill Parcells, Isaac Bruce, Nick Saban, Tim Tebow, Jimbo Fisher, Kirby Smart, Julio Jones, Jason Witten, Philip Rivers. It's not like the guy's a slug as an agent. It's been some of the biggest clients there is, but just didn't work with Will Levis. Simple as that.
Yeah, some other really good names on the board as well. Alabama safety Brian Branch, you know, son of, I think it's Deion Branch. Penn State cornerback Joey Porter Jr., I love him. Keon White from Georgia Tech, he's a pass rusher. Those are some really good names up on the board as well. So if I'm Pittsburgh, Arizona, Detroit, who are picking 1, 2, and 3 in the second round, I don't know if I'd still go quarterback with Will Levis. I might go with some of these other names who are on there, which are, you know, great value here atop the second round.
Let's get back to Kansas City. Say hello to our correspondents, the Foss, Steve Foster, as well as Chris Fernandez. So much to unpack with those two besides the Levis situation. Gentlemen, what was it like seeing everything in Radio Row as it was developing yesterday?
Hey, Cappy. Good afternoon. Home, as loving the opportunity to represent El Paso all throughout KC Mo and Johnson County over in Kansas. It's been a lot of fun. I'm telling you, when you have the draft at the home of the Super Bowl champs, man, their fan base has been a huge support for welcoming everybody here, including Chris and myself. I tell you, it's been very interesting with the folks that got left in the green room, as you spoke about. And, you know, everybody's got an opinion. And it was very interesting listening to all the thoughts of why and what was going on with those who weren't picked and selected in the first round.
Is there anybody besides Levis that was also stuck in the green room last night?
Yes.
Yeah.
There were four people. It was Branch.
Joey Porter.
Joey Porter Jr.
Joey Porter Jr. Levis. And I forget the fourth pick.
But interesting enough, Cappy, you and Adrian mentioned that some of the reasons it could have possibly been his downfall was his attitude.
That's Levis.
And Levis, we're talking about. The attitude and his demeanor during the meetings. Mm-hmm. And that's come up a couple times from different people here on Radio Row. It's been mentioned on television, and it's been part of the talk here. Here at the NFL Draft here in Kansas City.
Oh, I believe it.
Guys, was it Michael Mayer, the tight end from Notre Dame,
yes,
who was also in the war room?
I think that's correct.
Well.
And just to be clear, guys, no, Adrian, I would not welcome Will Levis to the Pittsburgh Steelers as a backup or someone that would be potentially starting for our Steelers.
Okay, no problem, man. I got you.
I am very much hoping that they look at Joey Porter Jr. He'd fit our need right now. He'd fit the Steelers' need right now.
All I could tell you is this. I could totally see that being the pick. I really could. Did you like, as a Steeler fan, did you like trading up to get Broderick Jones, who the Jets were going to take at 15?
You know, I did. I think that he's going to help in the upcoming season. They need that type of position right now. They need that type of player to go out and secure the offensive line. So I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing him be part of the Steeler Nation.
Meanwhile, Cowboys yesterday took Mozzie Smith from Michigan, the big defensive tackle. What was that reaction like around the draft when you had a chance to see Smith go?
C+, like, okay. Like, we could have got him somewhere else.
I mean, let me ask you this. Based on who was on the board at the time, did you want them to go with Michael Mayer instead?
You know, I wouldn't have advocated for a tight end, but if you have a need and that's the best guy available for you down in the first round, yes. Yes.
Well, and that's the question is, where did you think the biggest Cowboys need was heading into the draft?
Well, I think offensive line was, you know, again, he who controls the line of scrimmage usually wins a football game. And that's on the offense and defensive side of the ball. You know, we do talk about quarterback, huge, huge, huge important. But everybody else can fall in and make it work. But the line of scrimmage, that's what it's all about, man. You have to have the line to do it. And the Cowboys know that there could be some gaps and chinks in the armor in there. And to get a understand the push from a three technique or a guy that plays off the left or right of the center, that's the area of the three technique, is important because a push up the middle can be very disruptive. But given the fact that you've brought in some quality free agents on the offensive side of the ball, you still could have got some of these defensive guys, I believe.
Foss, when it came to the Cowboys, though, for Smith, I feel like they probably just said, well, we've got him or we get Harrison, who went next to the Jaguars. Maybe with Smith, you get that run stuffer you need defensively, and then you prioritize line in the second round.
Well, I mean, again, it just depends how you want to coach up your football team, and that's very true. I'm not saying that you can't get quality offensive linemen second, third, fourth rounds without a doubt. But I'm just now hoping that you have a guy that can be so disruptive with this pick for Dallas at defensive tackle.
Right, well, only time will tell, guys. It's going to be a good start to the show. We have a lot more to talk about with the Foss and Chris Fernandez from Kansas City. We'll find out what happened after we left the airwaves with them last night, and we'll do a lot more than that, plus Hags and story time a little bit later on the show. Good to have you back here with you till 6:30 as we send it off right now to Charlie One and get our first traffic update of the afternoon. Back here on Sports Talk as we continue. Along with Adrian Broaddus, Alicia Barón, Steve Kaplowitz with you here on a Friday afternoon. The Foss and Chris Fernandez wrap up our team coverage from 600 ESPN El Paso. They're out in Kansas City right now covering the NFL draft. We left them yesterday, I believe it was right after the second pick. And then the Texans traded up to get number three. You guys are right in front of your buddies at ESPN Houston. What was their reaction after the Texans swung that deal to get Will Anderson?
Jubilance. The folks from H-Town said, yeah, at least our franchise and our football club is being serious about winning now. Because, again, and I think they were spot on when they said, don't wait for next year's quarterback class. You don't know how that's going to pan out. You got to deal with what's going on now. And anyone to try to concede 17 to 18 NFL football games, to me, is a poor manager of a franchise.
Guys, I don't know. I'm just pushing back on the philosophy itself, because if you're telling me that they want to win now, I can't even name right now on the current roster more than three of their skill position guys offensively. So even though you draft two and three and you hope to catapult your franchise into the future, giving up a first-round pick in 2024 could end up being a top 10 pick when it's all said and done.
Well, it could be, but the Cowboys could have beat the Steelers twice with Roger Staubach, and they have seven, Super Bowls. This could, in the reality of now, you don't play in this space for next year. You don't, and tell your fans, I'm conceding. You got to go get what you have right now. And again, to me, if you're playing to win, that's what you need to do now. Next year's pick and all this, you don't even, coaches have changed for the Texans. There's not that consistency. They're trying to build a foundation of win in a division that's actually possibly winnable for this team.
Let me think about that for a second. You have Jacksonville, you have Tennessee, and you also have
the Colts.
Right. Now, the Colts are rebuilding. We know that. They took Richardson as their quarterback yesterday, even though we heard it could be Levis. Jacksonville will be tougher to beat because I think that they're getting better and better. We saw a big jump in talent from last year to this season. So, I don't know. I mean, Houston wants to stay out of the cellar, but as Adrian said, they've got holes aplenty, and they traded away a lot of their draft capital next season to try to go get Anderson to pair him up with C.J. Stroud.
So, did you think Cincinnati was good as they were when they got Joe Burrow?
Were they as good as they were? Well, they were terrible coming off that season, which is why they got Joe Burrow to begin with. And okay, I thought that, we'll see how it goes. They would need to add some weapons, and sure enough, they gave him Jamar Chase the following season.
Okay.
They're competitive.
But they were competitive right off.
But that's Joe Burrow.
You didn't know anything until you saw Joe Burrow at LSU. You didn't know his story coming back from Athens, Ohio, anything about the Huskers not wanting him, Scott Frost. Nobody knew any of that.
And you never know how they're going to translate once they leave the college game into the NFL, because we all know it's a different level of play.
Look, I love the fact that you guys are trying to sell the Texans on us. That's great for you. Thank you for trying to do that. But
No.
But Cappy,
what we're saying is nobody would have thought Jalen Hurts was going to do what he did so quick. We're just saying there's a lot of these stories that are more prevalent.
Hey, but here's the thing. Even if Stroud and Anderson are good, they could still be terrible.
Well, again, you're coming up with speculation against the fact that we're looking at something realistically as guys that have been on teams that have seen turnarounds. That's all we're saying.
Guys, can you name one skill position player offensively other than Dameon Pierce for the Texans?
You don't have to because the fact of the matter is
the answer is no.
The answer is it's the greatest team sport that you have, and you don't have to have when. Tom Brady won. He didn't have marquee. Only marquee guy he really had was Randy Moss. Julian Edelman wasn't a household name. Danny Amendola wasn't a household name. None of the guys that he had. Any of his running backs besides who? Maybe Steven Jackson one year. LeGarrette Blount. He's got seven rings when he puts together a team effort. He had, well, you could say Gronk was his security blanket. So telling me because you don't know the guys doesn't mean that the team's bad.
You're exactly right, Steve. The ability for one or two players to come onto a team and elevate the level of play as a team is always there when you introduce new talent like this.
Look.
You've got guys now that could that have
the draft's not over.
That's right. We're not saying that they're going to
win the Super Bowl. We didn't say that.
They will make the difference, and they have the potential to make the difference in this season of play.
Right.
That's all we're saying. That's it.
Let me ask you this: how many picks did the Steelers move up, did the Eagles move up to go get themselves?
Just one pick,
and it cost them a
fourth round pick.
Okay, so that was one pick. It cost them a fourth rounder.
Okay,
the Cardinals received to go down nine spots in the first round. They received number 12. They received a second round pick this year. That's number 33. The Texans' first round pick next season and a third round pick. It is possible that the Cardinals pick in the top five next year if the Texans have it.
So what? We can't talk next year. We're trying to win football games in 2023. The Texans have 10 more picks. You don't know what they're going to do in trade. I'm trying to win ball games now, man. I'm not trying. The roster's not filled out.
Okay,
Adrian, let's let the season start.
Before you write the Texans off because they gave up a first-round pick.
That's fine. But what I'm trying to tell you is this.
They had the worst QBR guy in the league, 32nd.
You got
to make progress to get going to the top. How else do you do it? Do we wait? Do we go 1-17 and say hope that we get Spencer Rattler or somebody like that? No.
But teams are so enamored with quarterbacks, so enamored with the quarterback position that they'll do anything to go get a quarterback.
Look at what happened in the first round, by the way. Let's check out the first round. But Cappy, the AFC is so much better than the NFC because of all the quarterback power, star power on teams. Really, for the Cowboys to win the NFC, all they got to beat is Jalen Hurts, maybe a Vikings team, and Derek Carr. That's it. There's no other quarterback in the NFC that, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're afraid of. Zero.
Well, for now, that's correct. That is correct. I mean, Jalen Hurts is the guy.
Which gives you a huge advantage. The AFC is like the Schuylkill Expressway at 5 o'clock. It's freaking packed.
Yeah,
it's a traffic jam.
That's true. Because every good quarterback in the league, it seems like they're all in the AFC.
And Aaron Rodgers went to the Jets.
I know. You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, look, we've got a call for you. Okay. I'm going to bring on Daniel. He's got a question for the two of you, so let's bring him up next. Daniel, welcome. You're on with Steve and Chris out there in Kansas City.
Steve, you're driving me crazy. First off, Aaron Rodgers is not the savior of the Jets. The Jets will be lucky to make the playoffs next year. The AFC is stacked with good young studs at quarterback, and with the Texans bringing on a stud, oh, my God, dude.
Okay, so here's the deal.
The Texans had an awesome draft. Panthers had an awesome draft so far. And the Texans took the Kansas City Chiefs, all the best teams last year. They took them to the brink of beating them. So there's a good young – can I name a player? No. But I know what I saw when I was watching the Texans last year. Whenever I had a chance to look at them, they're going to be awesome with these two the picks they've had.
That's exactly what we're saying. No, he's talking about me, not you, genius. All right,
okay.
Daniel. Okay. Daniel, how many games did the Texans win last year?
What, one or two, maybe, if that?
No, they won three. Let's give them at least three wins. So, but here's the thing:
they were competitive in every single game. They were competitive, and they gave that. They traded all their players away last year.
So
they,
you think
you know,
that the Texans
in that team play?
So you think the Texans can be a playoff caliber team this season?
No, not next year. No, by no means. In 2 or 3 years, they'll be there.
Fair enough. That's
but
okay.
You don't get these type of quarterbacks. You don't get these type of quarterbacks. These guys are going to be superstars, just like Patrick Mahomes. Trust me.
So you are a C.J. Stroud fan and believe that C.J. Stroud will be a superstar?
You just wait and see.
All right. What is it about C.J. Stroud that you like so much?
He's young, dual threat. That's what the future of the league is, dual threat quarterbacks that have a that has a good decision-making. Good decision-making. That's what the future is about.
All right. Oh, by the way, as far as Rodgers goes, let me tell you something, Daniel. All right? As a Jet fan and having to watch another young quarterback, as you talked about, Zach Wilson, stink it up the last 2 years and have an absolute miserable performance, I will take 50% of Aaron Rodgers over Zach Wilson. I had no problem saying that because I at least know what Aaron Rodgers can do. Zach Wilson, to me, is someone who will have a very hard time staying in this league in the next few years. And unless he sponges off of Rodgers and can find a way to channel the abilities he hasn't shown so far, as a Jet fan, I will take that. Thank you very much.
Hey, and to Daniel's point about the fact that the Texans played everybody close last year, they actually had the third worst point differential in the league, Steve. So they did not play teams close. Maybe by the end of the year, maybe it was against the Kansas City Chiefs, which was a memorable game. But to me, this draft pick, this choice to move up to number three and take Will Anderson Jr., I'm not arguing against. I'm not even arguing against if C.J. Stroud is going to be a good quarterback or not. I'm saying that you gave up a lot in order to move up to that third overall pick, and this might be a move from Nick Caserio, the GM, who might be fired next year. So what does he care about the 2024 first overall pick?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you got to get into the game somehow. So let me give you marquee drafts. And I'll take the basketball draft. Sam Bowie was taken before Michael Jordan. Akeem Olajuwon was taken before Michael Jordan, okay? Nobody's getting Michael Jordan. These two big guys were the best guys. $1 billion later and 15 million shoes sold and 6 championships, Air Jordan is hands and shoulders and feet above Olajuwon, who I love as a center, and Sam Bowie, who never worked out for the Portland Trail Blazers. You just have to go when it's time to go.
Listen. Olajuwon's a Hall of Fame center, and he delivered championships to Houston.
I love Olajuwon. When Five Slamma Jamma lost. Tell me, bro, I was there.
Do you really think that Rockets fans are lamenting the fact they passed on Jordan for Olajuwon? He's still arguably one of the top 5 centers of all time.
No doubt that he is. But
I still would have taken Michael Jordan now that I know what I know.
That's easier said than done.
What we're saying is this. You have to get started somewhere, somehow. Well, Davis Mills is garbage. I mean, Cappy, he's horrible.
How many teams would have jumped on Tom Brady? Everybody. See, so it's. I get the point, guys. I get the point. I'm just saying that only time will tell. Because you know
right.
what? For every Patrick Mahomes, we've got 3 or 4 Zach Wilsons.
Achilles Smith and
yes.
Ryan Leaf.
We've got plenty of guys that are drafted in the first round that are busts.
Precisely why I said let's just wait till the season starts and see how it pans out.
All right, listen, let's take a break. We got SportsCenter coming up. More with Foss and Chris out in KC as Sports Talk continues. 600 ESPN El Paso. Thank you. Here are your first-round quarterbacks drafted since 2018, okay? In 2018, Baker Mayfield goes 1 overall to Cleveland. The Jets take Sam Darnold at 3. Then you had Josh Allen to Buffalo at 7. And then at 32, you had Lamar Jackson to Baltimore. That was 2018. Let's go to 2019 now. Kyler Murray, first overall to Arizona. Then you had Daniel Jones to the Giants at 6. You had Dwayne Haskins to Washington at 15, and then you had nobody else taken as far as quarterbacks in the 2019 draft. Over to 2020, okay? 2020, we had Joe Burrow first overall to Cincinnati, Tua Tagovailoa 5th overall to Miami. Then you had Justin Herbert 6th overall to the Chargers, And then we got to go all the way down to Jordan Love, 26th to Green Bay to wrap up the first round in 2020. 2021, we had Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, 1, 2, and 3 to Jacksonville, the Jets, and San Francisco. Justin Fields went 11th overall to Chicago. Mac Jones went 15th overall to New England. And that led us to last year's draft. In the 2022 draft, you had, as far as quarterbacks go, it wasn't nearly the stacked draft that we've seen in the past. In fact, Kenny Pickett went 20th over to Pittsburgh. And then you had, that was it. The only quarterback taken last year in the first round in a weak quarterback draft was Kenny Pickett to Pittsburgh. Now, I rattled off a lot of quarterbacks out of that draft. And there were plenty of guys that are stars, but there's also plenty of guys that turned out to be busts so far in the last 5 years.
No doubt. But you've got Davis Mills as your headliner. Come on, man. That's like having Dexy's Midnight Runners, and you could have the police. You know, you.
I'm not arguing the fact that the Texans shouldn't have taken a quarterback. They should. But what I'm saying is there's no definite word based on previous years if C.J. Stroud's going to turn out to be a great quarterback or not. He could be a bust. Well,
but the thing I think what Adrian was saying, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, is they gave up too much. My response is scared money don't make none. You sometimes got to pay a little bit more to get what you need. And this is a now league. No one's going to pay the money and get the corporate sponsors when you're not trying to win in the NFL. Too much money.
Davis Mills, by the way, last season, 3,118 yards at 16th in the league, 17 touchdowns, but he had 15 interceptions, and that's really what killed him. I mean, he was middle of the road until he threw all those picks.
Right.
All right.
That's poor decision-making, and that's what's killing Dak, if you want to know about it. I mean, Dak is great, but when crunch time comes, the decision-making is what's lacking from him versus Mahomes.
Yeah.
And
by the way,
Jalen Hurts.
YYS tweets the show. What, Corey Dillon didn't count as a good running back for the Patriots?
He did. He was one year good. Yes, absolutely. Much love. He played most of his career, though, with Cincinnati. That's correct.
That he did. I think Dillon might have played 2 or 3 seasons with New England. Let me double check here and see how many.
And my guy Larry Sinners ran.
Yeah, 3 seasons with New England, by the way.
Larry Sinners won a Super Bowl, and he's an All-Pro, the all-time leading receiver as a running back in NFL history with over 820 catches. Should be in the Hall of Fame. And again, you have that invite next year in Vegas to his Wednesday evening event.
Thank you. Thank you. We appreciate that. We will be there. We will be there.
We hope so. We missed you last year.
We love it.
Thank you. We're bringing Lane.
We're bringing Lane to that one, too.
Yeah, we need to make sure Lane comes to that.
Yeah, he can go to that one.
There we go, for sure.
That's good. Yeah, okay. 20 in front of 5. More as we continue here on Sports Talk with Steve Foster, Chris Fernandez out in Kansas City at Radio Row. We'll continue. 600 ESPN El Paso. Less than 13 minutes away from the start of the NFL Draft Round 2. Round 2 and 3 tonight from Kansas City. You know who else is out in Kansas City right now? Steve Foster, Chris Fernandez. What'd you guys do after where we left the airwaves yesterday? Give us the description of how the rest of your night went.
Bro, it was a long day. We had to.
It was a long day after a 22-hour day. So we finished watching the draft here. We watched all the way to the last.
Yep.
And had some conversation with our counterparts here from ESPN Houston. And then we took it to the house.
But in that time, we had a chance to catch up with Tyree Wilson.
Yep. Oh, we Bijan. Did. Bijan.
So you guys were in the press conferences.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
And then we got some. We did get a little bit of one-on-one with Bijan, and just a congratulatory hug and.
Of course you did. Now, by the way, just out of curiosity, who does a better bro hug, Commissioner Goodell or the Foss?
Come on, that's not even
come
close.
Come on, it's got to be Goodell. No, of course it's going to be Steve Foster.
Hey, I tell you what, it's really good, and we talked to JSN, and Jackson was really cool. Found out that one of my alums and teammates from Nebraska who grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, actually coached him at Rockwall. And I said, we put it together. You were the guy that beat Galena Park North Shore. He goes, yeah, and Duncanville and everybody else. I said, man, yeah, you're going to be a great addition to Seattle. And we look forward to it. Everybody was pleasant. I mean,
Did you go see Christian Gonzalez yesterday and ask him how his dad Hector's doing since he played basketball at UTEP from 92 to 94?
You know, we didn't see him. We saw Addison. Mm-hmm. We were trying to catch up with him because we saw what you had said, but we couldn't, you know, between kind of keeping up with different things and whatnot, we didn't see him, and we were, remiss that we did not get a chance
here,
to get him.
Kathy,
is so much different.
It's a little, well, I'm going to say
it's a lot of different.
Remember
how we could go out in the hall last year, fellas, and we could see the guys coming off the stage again. This wasn't the way because they had to take them across this kind of walkway called the Link from the stage to where we are in the West, and they didn't come out in order. It was just kind of a different setup.
I understand. I got you. It's a great story, though. I had no idea that Hector Gonzalez had a son who turned into the best cornerback in the game,
yeah.
And right became the Patriots pick at 17, Christian Gonzalez. But it's true. Hector played at UTEP in the 92-93 season, which was the year right after the Sweet 16 year.
Right.
And then he also played 93-94, averaged about 10 minutes a game both seasons. Didn't start much, but was more of a depth piece. Didn't score a whole heck of a lot either, but was one of those guys that could grab a couple rebounds, was from Columbia, and look at what's happened. Here we are 30 years later, and he's got a first-round pick from the University of Oregon and now the New England Patriots. Pretty wild story with Christian Gonzalez.
Well, it just shows you that if you have that talent, it can manifest itself in whatever sport.
So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You'll find a lot, you know, when you have these younger athletes that come from a father or a mother who was a professional athlete in front of them, they're more likely to
shine.
Shine, yeah, exactly. And because it's a talent that's within them and is taught as they grow up, and they're around the game throughout their entire life. So it makes a huge difference.
Sure does. Sure does. So, anyway, we're hearing, Adrian's hearing lots of trade rumors for this pick right now at 32 by Pittsburgh. They might be getting some good offers, right, Adrian?
That's right. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network is reporting that the Steelers have been taking a lot of calls and interest regarding this first overall pick in the second round. It's coming right up, guys, and if I'm a team out there who's in need of a quarterback, Will Levis at pick 32 overall, it sounds pretty understandable right here. What do you all think?
Well, you know, I'm looking at my friend and co-host for a long time now, and he loves the fact that Joey Porter Jr. could extend the legacy of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But again, and now, Adrian, I think what you're saying about drafts, if I can get two or maybe three picks for that 32nd pick here in the second round, you really have to consider that if you're Pittsburgh.
I don't know how many picks they'll get. It depends on how much they would move up or down.
Yeah, well, I mean, but they're entertaining something for that slot.
That they are.
And, you know, as much as I'd hate to see them lose the opportunity to get Joey Porter Jr. at 32, if they get, you know, additional picks or draft picks in early in the upcoming years, it's okay because it's all about what they can do now to better the team. So I'd hate to see it happen, but it, you know, if it does, okay, we'll just play with what we got.
So it's interesting, right? Because in years past, we see second round quarterbacks being taken by the team who already has a quarterback on their team, maybe the franchise guy, and a team that maybe it's like an unexpected pick. I'll throw some at you guys. The Minnesota Vikings with quarterback Kirk Cousins may be uncertain on his future for the next 5 years and could benefit, you know, Will Levis could benefit it on the bench with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah,
maybe
right.
That's a possibility right there. The Tennessee Titans, sure, they want to move on from Ryan Tannehill. Maybe they move up to that spot.
Both sound and interesting choices because Malik Willis didn't pan out for Tennessee.
And he was one that I really thought would do well.
Yeah, but he may do better with a change of venue for himself, and then you could, you know, sit a guy like Will Levis that can, you know, look and see what's going on, get acclimated and used to this next level. He's going to be a very interesting pick and selection because of how I believe you coach him up on this level.
True. Very, very two solid outlooks that you just presented,
yes.
Adrian.
All right, guys, we'll get back with you in a little bit as we continue here on Sports Talk. Had news this hour that a former UTEP football player is back in the transfer portal again. I'll tell you this much. Adrian, I don't know about you, but Tyron Smith really, really likes the portal. UTEP Zay has been on this story as well. Zay, before we end the hour, how much do you think the chances of Tyron Smith coming back to UTEP are now a good possibility since he's back in the portal again?
I think it's a good possibility, and I think a lot of other people think so too, but you never know. You never know.
His third time in the portal in like a year and 3 months.
Hey, you got to explore all your options, you know?
There you go. Anyway, we'll see how that shakes out. We'll have plenty more coming up as we continue hour two of Sports Talk next, right here, 600 ESPN El Paso. Hour two underway, along with, we got a full house here. Alicia Badone's in the house. UTEP Zay's in the house. Adrian Broaddus. I'm Steve Kaplowitz. Hey, before we bring back the Foss and Chris, since round two is now underway, Zay, what are you hearing as far as UTEP rumors for recruiting? You are on, you pretty much have everything to the pulse of what's going on with the minors. What are some of the names that are starting to leak out that UTEP is going after in basketball, since pretty much you keep tabs on all that stuff on your Twitter handle?
Well, you know, it has died down a little bit. You know, UTEP isn't reaching.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
So, hey, that could mean that they're zeroing in on a couple recruits that we just don't know about. And, yeah, you know, they haven't really reached out to a lot. And I think that's what it means. It's really late in the cycle. They might be zeroing in on the players that they want for sure and they know that they have a shot at. So that's what I say.
I heard they were going out recruiting this weekend out of town.
Yeah, I guess they are. Joe Golding has to get some work in, you know?
And what are you hearing right now about Zarek Onyema? I heard he had dinner Monday night or Tuesday night earlier this week at Track 1 with Grant McCasland, who is the head coach of Texas Tech, who flew in to have dinner with Z over at Track 1.
Well, he's got his pick. You got Texas Tech. You got Texas, Ole Miss, Vandy. You know, he's got his pick, and I'm pretty sure he's going to be very selective throughout this process, go on as much visits, get everything you can, you know, take it all in.
If you had to pick a spot that makes the most sense for Z, given everybody that's shown interest, who do you think it is?
I'm going to go with the curve, but I'd say Ole Miss, you know, Chris Beard, Ole Miss.
Has Beard shown interest?
Yeah, he has.
Okay.
So that would be a fun fit. I'd like to see that.
Especially since he'll soon be in the same conference as Rodney Terry. And, you know, even though Rodney will try to tell Z everything he can about trying to make it up for what happened the first year while he was there, what a way to do it. Just go and play for the guy that was a former head coach at Texas when Rodney was an assistant.
That's going to be a fun matchup. You know, if Z actually does end up going to Ole Miss, develops, and maybe becomes a starter in the SEC playing against Texas.
Pretty really interesting. I'm with you. All right. So anyway, keep an eye on that. Follow UTEP Zay on Twitter to get the latest of what's going on. They're showing some of the best prospects left in the NFL draft, including Hendon Hooker. They showed Wingo a little while ago, the receiver from Ole Miss. And I'm interested to see what happens at this point. I don't think we're going to be seeing a camera on Will Levis anymore. Chances are when he gets drafted, there will be no reaction to the Levis household.
I would hope there's not a camera on him anymore. I think he got enough camera time yesterday.
You don't want to see any more Will Levis?
No, and no more of his family either. I think they're done for the year.
I hear you. Let's send it back right now to Steve and Chris out there at the NFL Draft. Guys, has it started to thin out a little bit today versus yesterday when you were there?
No.
Not at all.
No. More people because it is a Friday. So you don't have to concern yourself with waking up tomorrow and heading somewhere. And this is kind of a good spot. The weather has been warm, no precipitation. And the difference, Cappy and Adrian, from last year, this is such a bigger area for folks to be in. You know, it was really nice and compact in Vegas. I love that setup. Here, the draft experience, man, is at least a half mile or so dang near uphill to get to the draft experience from Radio Row.
Let's hear Commissioner Goodell get ready to start round two.
Come on. That's it.
Wow, looking out here tonight, thank you, Kansas City, for your passion. Thank you for being here. And welcome back to night two of the 2023 NFL Draft. Last night, in front of 125,000 people here in Kansas City and 34 million viewers, we welcomed 31 extraordinary players into the NFL family. Tonight, as you can see, I'm joined by some current players and legends who will help us select the next generation of players to join the NFL. Also on stage are active duty service members from the Army, Navy, Air Force, Space Force, Coast Guard, and Marine Corps. Go ahead. USA, 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 USA. They're going to be back in just a few moments, so we're going to get another shot at that. As you know, Kansas City has a deep connection to our armed forces, and it's fitting that our stage sits directly in front of the World War I Memorial. Thank you. This year, we have prospects from military academies who will go on to serve our country after their NFL careers. We'll honor our service members and veterans. Thank you for your service and being with us here tonight. So, Kansas City, you ready? It's time to kick off night two. Round two of the 2020 NFL Draft is now officially open. The Pittsburgh Steelers are now on the clock.
So there you go. The Steelers are on the clock, Chris Fernandez. And how about all the boos that was coming into Commissioner Goodell when he started that? And he seems like he enjoys it. He wants to get booed by the fans.
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, and it doesn't matter where he's at. As soon as he comes on the stage, the boos come out in force.
Yeah, that's so true.
I think he loves it.
Now, if you're a Steeler fan, where do you think they're going to go here at 32 overall? Because this was part of that Chase Claypool trade with the Bears.
I honestly think that they're going to go with Joey Porter Jr. They need a cornerback, and I think he will fit the program perfectly.
Especially with that lineage, right?
It wouldn't Absolutely.
Be, it would not be a bigger hit than getting him now. So.
Yeah, and wouldn't that be awesome? Well, if his father was able to announce him.
Yeah, that would be pretty special. Adrian, you think Porter ends up going right here to Pittsburgh?
If they make the pick, it makes the most sense. The other one that could make sense at this position, you look at the offensive line position. Yep. I know that they don't necessarily need a tackle. Maybe you could slide Steve Avila. Not sure of his versatility from TCU. He's the seventh best available offensive lineman out right now. Beyond that, the tackle position does take a drop-off, so you might be able to get somebody like Cody Monch from North Dakota State later on and instead prioritize right now the cornerback position, which, by the way, I feel like this year's class was loaded at that position. So I would definitely go at that spot right there.
Absolutely right, Adrian. And what I like about offensive linemen is that they are versatile. I mean, you can take a tackle and turn them into a guard. You can, they can move around the front of the line and play different positions. So it's kind of wide open for him there, but I like your picks for him.
Well, I'll tell you what, they've got less than 5 minutes before they have to make their picks. So I will be very interested to see what happens. They lost a couple of corners in Cam Sutton and William Jackson III, Plus, they lost Miles Jack as well. So there are some significant losses. They've had some additions, however, including some cornerbacks. But I don't know. I think Joey Porter Jr. makes sense for all the right reasons. And here's a guy that some thought would be a first-round pick. So if Pittsburgh was to land him, that would be, I think, a really nice move for a Mike Tomlin team that you know would be a big, big hit for the fans.
Absolutely right, Cappy. And I don't. You're not hearing a lot about any trades going on, so I have a feeling, and I hope it comes to fruition that Joey Porter Jr. becomes a Pittsburgh Steeler today, in about 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
There you go. We're a few seconds behind you guys because we're going off the ESPN feed online, so we're about 12 seconds behind. But the fact that you guys are ahead is great, and we will have a chance to see it soon enough, and hopefully get that pick announced here on the air. Following that, following 32 for Pittsburgh, you get Arizona and Detroit. So again, a lot of needs for Arizona, a ton. Detroit is on, on the way up, so it's going to be interesting to see where they end up trying to go after those two draft picks yesterday.
Yeah, with Arizona, I would say that pass rusher spot has to be addressed. The J.J. Watt departure, that's the spot, in my opinion. You got to address defense if you don't at that edge rusher position. Maybe it's a corner. Maybe they go the defensive tackle and get a pass a run stuffer instead at that second overall pick in the second round. Now, for the Lions specifically, they went an interesting route in the first round by getting Jahmyr Gibbs at the 12th overall pick from Alabama, the running back. Then they go inside linebacker with Jack Campbell, which was also a bit of a surprise.
Yep.
At 18 overall from Iowa. They definitely need a run stopper as well, but I could see Detroit going tight end. There's some great tight ends on the board here, and if they go at that third overall pick in the second round with Michael Mayer, that could be the spot that they go with. Kind of a replacement for T.J. Hockenson, who left last year and was traded to the Vikings.
The pick apparently is in by the Steelers, which is good. Now the only question is, when will they announce it? I love the mariachi Steeler fan, by the way. Is there anything better than seeing a guy with a mariachi suit all decked out in Steeler gear?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, we were walking through the fan experience this afternoon, and there was a gentleman wearing a Steeler shirt that said, Los Steelers.
Ah.
I liked it.
Los Steelers. Did you ask him where he got it?
I didn't. In fact, we were having a conversation with some Kansas City Chiefs fans that we had the opportunity to meet this week, and we were sitting down with them. But we did see him walk by, and Steve Foster pointed it out to me. It was a pretty cool shirt.
Oh, very nice. Well, the Steelers will be picking shortly, and then we'll get to the Cardinals and Lions and continue through the second round, which will take us into the third to later tonight. And then we'll have 4, 5, 6, and 7 coming up on Saturday. So the 3-day draft now with a new tradition as opposed to it used to be Saturday, Sunday. Now we just go over the course of a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And by the way, I've been on the radio long enough that we used to do Saturday draft shows. I remember them very well. We did them downtown at the Marriott Hotel at the sports bar there, Pitchers, and spent many a year broadcasting. Our record was 7 hours on a Saturday. We were at our NFL Draft Spectacular with Robert Garcia. 7 consecutive hours on that Saturday broadcasting and getting everybody their pick-by-pick analysis. Let's see what happens here. It looks like we're ready.
Steeler Nation, where you at? There we go. It's an honor and a privilege to announce that with the 32nd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers select Joey Porter Jr., DB, Penn State.
So there you go. That was Alan Faneca, by the way, who's on the Hall of Fame, another former great, announcing Joey Porter Jr. Guys, this pick just makes sense for all the right reasons, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It fills a hole that the Steelers have on their defense. You can't go wrong with bringing him in. I think it's a great choice for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I am one happy Steeler fan.
I would bet you are. And by the way, his dad was an unbelievable linebacker who was about as vicious as it gets. So getting a chance to see Joey Porter's son stay in the family is huge. Foss, what are your thoughts on the pick and the fit out there in Pittsburgh?
Well, you know, now you see why Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season in 16 seasons, because he coaches up the people that he's been given. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity over 16 seasons to have bust, to have bad years. He may not have been in the playoffs, but, again, they at least get 500 or better. And now kind of this legacy pick with Joey Porter Jr., we were around him. He was a good kid, was very thankful. Not too loud, but he knew he would have an opportunity, and didn't matter where he was picked. He wasn't a guy that was griping.
You know, guys, this is also, and Zay was the one who mentioned this earlier, this is really a first-round pick, essentially, knowing that Miami forfeited that pick in the first round. This is 32nd overall. Joey Porter Jr. compliments Broderick Jones, who they picked in the first round, the tackle out of Georgia. Talk about star power right here for the Steelers going in the first two rounds and addressing some major needs for their team.
They really are, Adrian. I mean, they've suffered a little bit on defense for the last couple of years, and I think they're filling some gaps now. I'm looking to them to pull a running back and possibly a linebacker as the draft goes on.
Well, so far, terrific stuff as the Cardinals are on the clock right now, less than 3 minutes till they pick. We'll come back with more in a moment as we continue round two of the NFL draft here on Sports Talk. Let's go first to Charlie One and get this traffic update. We've got a trade as we welcome you back to Sports Talk. The Titans have traded up to go into the 33rd spot, and apparently Roger Goodell's coming in to make the announcement. Let's send it out to the commish.
Let's see what Tennessee's here to do.
The Arizona Cardinals have traded the 33rd pick to the Tennessee Titans. With the 33rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Will Levis, quarterback, Kentucky.
So there it is, guys. The Levis slide has officially ended with Tennessee. Reactions to the move, trading up 9 spots with the Cardinals to get their man.
Well, as we were listening to our brethren from ESPN Houston, this was the Texans pick that they moved up for, and this is only can happen in America and in sports, that now CJ Stroud will get to go against Will Levis twice a year in the same division. Unbelievable.
Well, guys, actually, isn't this a perfect spot for Will Levis to be at? Because he doesn't have to start right away.
Yes.
Tannehill could start initially.
Yes.
And Tannehill could kind of be like the Alex Smith bridge to somebody like Will Levis here in
Correct.
The Titans system.
Yes, that's right. That's right, Adrian. Absolutely.
All right. Guys, good stuff. The draft keeps moving, and we keep going back to the phones. Let's go to Gator Richard, who joins us next, 23 past the hour here on Sports Talk. What's up, Richard? Go Gators.
Go Gators. How about that Gator quarterback, man? I know you don't want to admit it, Steve, but, you know, it's almost like Rich is clairvoyant or something, because I told you that he was going to do something with wearing Tebow's 15 number, okay? I don't know if you remember that when I called in, but
no, I don't remember that. I'm sure you said it, but no. Who remembers?
Adrian remembered. Adrian,
think,
come on.
Adrian, you remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I kind of do. Yeah,
kind
I'll,
of.
No. I'm gonna give him credit. I'll give Gator Richard
God.
Credit.
All
I'll
right.
give all the credit to Gator Richard here. I remember him calling his shot on Anthony Richardson. He chose Anthony Richardson over, I think it was Philippe Franks, right, at the time.
Yes.
Okay.
No, Frank's had already transferred out. Hey, but that I had a comment on that guy they keep cutting to, like, how come he didn't get drafted? Is that his girlfriend, man, that girl from Licorice Pizza? I mean, good God, she's gorgeous.
I think you're talking about the one that was to his right or his left?
Yeah, the one on the right of my TV screen. I don't know what
that was
left.
That was his mom.
No, that was not his mom. I'm talking about the girl that was, like, in a little skirt, like, sitting on his knee or right next to him on the couch.
Oh, you mean his mom wasn't sitting on his knee? I guess that's a good sign. That's probably good. So
Mama's boy, right?
Probably his girlfriend. Probably his girlfriend. I would say so.
I'm telling you, but is this that girl from that Licorice Pizza movie? You know, that one where the young Tony Soprano was like the star or whatever. Anyhow, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But
not a clue, man. But listen, thanks for the call. Appreciate you sharing that little piece of news. Maybe Steve and Chris know exactly what you're talking about because I don't. Do you guys ever hear that Licorice Pizza movie that he's talking about?
It was a movie that came out last year, I think. You had some well-known actors, and they're so well-known that I can't remember who they were. But, it was a movie that came out last year.
Okay, Adrian, you know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I've heard of this one. I've heard of Licorice Pizza.
Okay.
Yeah.
Adrian is a
bad, what's it called? A reference, though, or a comparison by Gator Richard. Looks nothing like her, but I know what he's talking
pretty
about.
Pretty sure the young lady sitting next to him was his sister.
Blonde was his girlfriend. You saw her last night. Sister was in red to his left.
Okay. But I'm assuming the girlfriend was the one that was on his lap, right?
Yeah, definitely wasn't his
correct.
Mother.
That's correct.
All right. Yeah.
Wasn't his mom.
All right. Well, that's good to know. That would be a little creepy. As the Lions getting ready to make they already just picked. They picked tight end Sam Laporta out of Iowa, guys.
Yeah.
Big shock here, right? I mean, Michael Mayer is still on the board from Notre Dame. Luke Musgrave still on the board from Oregon State. And you take somebody who wasn't necessarily in that top three best available out of the tight ends. But, hey, there must be something with the Lions and the school of Iowa, right? They get Jack Campbell in the first round and then here Laporta in the second round.
You know what's interesting, too? I was talking to Robert Garcia last night after I got off the air, and he hates Michael Mayer, doesn't think he's worth it at all. And that he was hoping nobody really took him because he was never really that big of a fan. And already he's getting passed up by players left and right now. So maybe the word is out and nobody really thinks that Mayer is going to be that good of a pro despite his stellar college career at Notre Dame.
Well, I think you look at the 40 times too, and you got a guy who's running a 4.59 from the tight end position. If you get him to block any, you know he can catch the ball downfield. It's a game of speed. It's fast people. There's 300-pounders that are fast, you know. And so if you can get a guy who can catch the ball, get downfield, and really attack a defense, that's a benefit.
Yeah. That's a good way to look at it, guys. And now, you look at this draft is moving quick. Suddenly, here we are with the fourth overall pick in the second round, and it looks like it's the Raiders via a trade. So were the Raiders originally supposed to pick at 35?
No, so they traded with the Colts right here, and the Colts are moving back here. The Raiders on the clock. You wonder, the Raiders right now in need of a tight end, in need right now of an offensive guard, in need of a cornerback, but do they go the other way and maybe consider a quarterback knowing that they have Jimmy Garoppolo and you might need a backup to him?
Maybe Hendon Hooker to the Raiders makes sense here. That's or Michael Mayer. There's a lot of possibilities, aren't there, guys?
Yes. And here's the thing. As you see pieces come off the board, the clarity or at least the sensibility for teams, even right here early in the second round, can become a lot more crystal clear than what we saw last night.
It's such a good point. So what we'll do is we'll wait to see who goes to the Raiders here with the fourth pick of the second round, and then we'll go to SportsCenter and get to right back to Steve and Chris from Radio Row out there in Kansas City. Does the NFL make the second round draft picks available if they're still there, or for the most part, was that just a first round thing?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. We're trying to recall and talk to some of our peers about second round pick availability for the press. I'm not sure.
I think during the next break, I may take a walk down the hallway and see what I can see.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. We were talking about that earlier, Cappy.
Well, it is. It's something to keep an eye on, guys.
If they're here, it's possible. But the general consensus is not likely.
Okay. Well, apparently they are getting ready to head to the podium in just a minute as the Raiders trade up to the 35th overall pick. And I'm so interested to see who they get when it's all said and done, guys. Again, we're you know, going off the one of the ESPN feeds just to get the pick announced from Commissioner Goodell as we continue our coverage here of the 2023 NFL Draft, round number two. And let's get ready to send it out to Commissioner Goodell, who's approaching the podium, and we'll have the news from the Raiders.
Traded the 35th pick to the Las Vegas Raiders. With the 35th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Michael Mayer, tight end, Notre Dame.
So there goes Mayer right off the board. Thank you, Commissioner Goodell. So, guys, there is the run of tight ends. And if the Cowboys had any dream of trying to get the top three tight ends, that dream is now officially over since we've been seeing the run of tight ends on these back-to-back picks.
So the best Notre Dame tight end that the Raiders had prior to this is Dave Casper. And Dave Casper was a hell of a Raiders tight end, one of the favorites for Kenny Stabler, and a Super Bowl champion. I think he was one of the greatest tight ends in that era. And so maybe Michael Mayer, wearing the same number, 87, may just be, in fact, the 2.0 Dave Casper.
It's, maybe there's a good description for you. Again, I was looking at when the Cowboys were picking yesterday, they were trying to hype up Mayer to Jason Witten, and all they were doing was throwing the comparisons to Witten before the Cowboys went defense, Adrian.
That's right, and I also feel like with the Cowboys, maybe the priority will be tight end later on. Maybe they find value in some of the third through fifth round for a tight end spot. You know, for the Raiders, it makes a lot of sense taking a tight end here. Darren Waller being traded away and going over to the Giants, him landing over there instead, and now that created that vacancy for the Raiders. The Raiders shopped Waller all of last season. Now they get a new guy with their new coach, Josh McDaniels. You know Josh McDaniels. He loves those big type of tight ends.
Four picks in. Second round continues in a moment, but first, right back to Adrian and this SportsCenter update. Draft starting to move along nicely. Guys, don't be surprised if we start seeing a run on some offensive linemen. There's some very good guards and centers that haven't been drafted yet that could very well start going off the board.
Yeah, the Rams lacked a ton of offensive line depth last year. We saw all the injuries they had. Wouldn't be surprised if the Rams here went with a wide receiver, went with a linebacker. Rams have had so many departures on their team. They just need a lot of things to solve their team. Brian Branch, wouldn't be surprised if they go a little star power here and draft the 6 foot 190-pound prospect out of Alabama instead.
All right, well, we'll see how things are going right now. Guys, what's the buzz like out there in the draft room?
Well, it's interesting. You know, people are like, well, just like you, seems like now there's going to be a little bit quicker pace for this draft as we go through rounds two and three. But they're very interesting picks. I think because there's so much that you can choose from, because you don't really have a bunch of separation, you don't know who they're going to pick being these clubs here. But they've got people representing these second and third rounds, former players,
yep,
which is awesome.
Let's check
Torrey
it out.
Holt.
Let's check it out right now, because it looks like Torrey Holt's about to make his move, his decision for the Rams, and find out who they are picking here in the second round.
With the 36th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Steve Avila, guard, TCU.
Are we surprised, Adrian? Steve Avila from TCU going to the Rams. I thought it would have been Steve Avila, but apparently it's Steve Avila from TCU.
I'm surprised on Torrey Holt's pronunciation there. That's the only thing I'm surprised there. I love the pick. It tells me right there that the Rams are prioritizing two things. They're prioritizing Matthew Stafford as their starting quarterback for another year, which I like. You got to give him credit. He's the 2021 Super Bowl champion, trying to run it back after missing eight games last year and really not coming back healthy from the offseason. And then you also are committing to a better run game than you have had over the past couple years by drafting a guard like Avila, which I'm going to contend is his actual name.
Yes.
And I'm happy that they drafted him at a TCU best guard or offensive lineman available right now.
Y'all, I'm going to hearken you back to another Texan who had his name botched up from Washington, and that was the running back from the Austin area, Pflugerville Hendrickson, in Ohio, Oklahoma, running back Sumahe Perini, and that was done by one of the actors who announced the Washington pick, and he completely botched P. Ryan's name. So it happens.
It does happen. And that takes us now to Seattle. They're picking 37th, followed by Indy and Carolina. So this will also be a pretty interesting move to see what happens. The Seahawks have already had a couple of picks here early on. And right back to the commish, who will be announcing the selection for us as the draft starting to move pretty quick here in round number two. Let's find out what Seattle will do as Commissioner Goodell heads to the podium.
With the 37th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Seattle Seahawks select Derek Hall, linebacker, Auburn.
There is a linebacker taken off the board, Derek Hall. I've seen defensive end. There's a defensive end on the board, yet he was announced as linebacker. So I guess it depends. He's kind of a hybrid, guys. Can play DE, can play offensive outside linebacker. He goes 6'3", 254 pounds.
Well, definitely a guy that you could play off the edge, and with his speed and quickness, could play from the inside as a linebacker. So you get a pick that can go two different positions.
I'd take him as a linebacker at 6'2". I want my age guys around 6'4", 6'5", or better. I know it doesn't sound like a big difference, but the reach and the ability to get your hands up on the line of scrimmage against 6'5", 6'6", tackles. The evaluation says struggles against offensive tackles. This guy is probably going to be more of a guy who stands up than puts that hand on the ground and comes out of a three-point stance.
Fair enough. And when you look at Seattle's draft so far, we haven't talked about yesterday. They get Devon Witherspoon from Illinois, 5th overall. But then the big selection that I think a lot of people were talking about, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, when they grabbed him at 20, first wideout off the board. And then we had the run of four straight wide receivers with Quentin Johnston going to the Chargers, Zay Flowers going to the Ravens, and Jordan Addison going to the Vikings.
Oh, I think that was four good selections for what – I mean, Justin Herbert, to have a guy who's going to now have that same size like a Keenan Allen or Mike Williams that's not hurt, that can get downfield. My goodness. I love Justin Herbert as a quarterback. He's 6'6". I thanked him last year at the Pro Bowl for being on my fantasy football team. And I think he's, you know, some's good, more's better. He got a great weapon in Johnston.
All right. We'll have to wait and see what will happen next, guys, as we continue with round number two here in the draft. We've got the Falcons. Then Carolina. So Falcons pick is in too. And then we'll hear from the Atlanta pick, and then we'll take the break and see what Atlanta decides to do next, as they have been very busy as well. You see what the Falcons did in the first round, getting Bijan Robinson, and now where they might end up going this time around.
Hey, Cappy, Jordan Addison with the Vikings with Justin Jefferson already there makes – anybody, but in particular, Kirk Cousins, a better quarterback.
Nice 1-2 punch. You're right about that. Well, in just a bit, John Abraham, the 5-time Pro Bowl selection, heading to the podium, and he will make the official announcement coming up now for the Atlanta Falcons at 38. Then we'll take the break and come back with more here as the draft continues.
The Indiana Colts have traded the 38th pick to the Atlanta Falcons. With the 38th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons have selected Matthew Bergeron, guard, Syracuse.
He's a good one. Bergeron's off the board, the best guard prospect in the draft. And, a lot of people thought he would go a little bit later in the second round. How about the Indiana Colts? I like that, guys. I haven't heard of the Indiana Colts until then.
Well, Indianapolis is in the Indiana.
They yes, it is.
They call them the state instead of the city.
The Indiana Colts.
Technically, why not? That's kind of correct.
Whatever works from John Abraham. You're right. So Matthew Bergeron off the board. We will come back, continue our coverage of round two as we continue right now over to ABC 7. Let's get this news update. While we were gone, the Carolina Panthers just added to their offense with Jonathan Mingo. They took the uber-talented 6'2 wide receiver out of Ole Miss with the 39th pick. We welcome you back to the show, 48 past the hour. Back to the Foss and Chris out there in KC. Guys, I love this pick for Carolina. Now, we were arguing earlier about Houston, right? I think Carolina, given what they've been able to get with Bryce Young and Jonathan Mingo, that is a very, very easy way to catapult your offense back to the top of a very weak and winnable division, the NFC South.
Absolutely, Cappy. And if those two can get in sync and create a pitch and catch situation for Carolina, it's going to result in a good season for both of them.
You know, it's so interesting that the Panthers, unlike the Texans, which we couldn't name any kind of skill position players, they've got Adam Thielen, DJ Chark, Terrence Marshall Jr. They've got guys like, of course, Hayden Hurst as their tight end. And then they got Miles Sanders in free agency.
Yep.
So a lot of guys on that team.
They've
and
got
a
names.
Horrible division. Yep. I mean, talk about that division being super weak. That is a winnable spot for the Panthers to be in year one.
I like the super weak call, Adrian.
That's right, man.
Hey, no, Jamie, don't you agree? I mean, you know, that's the one thing we'll say is – you know, in the AFC South, you at least have Jacksonville, who's shown some life. The NFC South is awful. I mean, it's entirely up for grabs.
Yes. Yes, that's a pick 'em. And then, again, you got to stock your refrigerator with the goods that, you know, a good solid coach like Frank the Third Reich can come and make it work. And Frank Wright, you know, and for those youngsters and folks that may have forgotten, he was with Jim Kelly and Marv Levy. Marv Levy, an excellent coach in the AFC with the Buffalo Bills, and Jim Kelly, a tremendous Hall of Fame quarterback, never won the Super Bowl, but a heck of a guy to have as a teammate.
Well, they're high-fiving in New Orleans right now as their pick is in at 40. I'm fascinated to see who the Saints are so ecstatic about taking when it's all said and done. Any predictions, guys, before we get a chance to head out and listen to Roman Harper from the Champs, who's, I think, walking to the podium now. Let's see what the Saints will be up to. Here is Roman Harper making the announcement.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Saints, you're on the clock. And what I want to say is that everybody that gets their name called tonight, your whole family should all celebrate together. It's a special time in all these young people's lives. So let's all give them a round of applause for that. And I also want to give a shout out to my man, Mike Ornstein, who had a happy birthday, turned 70 yesterday. You've given so much to me and to the game. With all that being said, with the 40th pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Isaiah Foskey, defensive end, Notre Dame.
Guys, this is another good one. Notre Dame starting to represent now in this second round. Isaiah Foskey off the board, considered one of the better defensive ends out there in the draft.
I like the pick. I like the pick. The kid's tall. He looks strong, quick feet, quick hands. He can get in the backfield quick and disrupt the quarterback or disrupt the offense. It's a great pick for them.
Foss, 6'5", 264.
That's what you want on the edge rusher. You know, the 6'4", 6'5", 240 plus to 260, strong enough, but long enough.
And still quick enough.
And quick enough to, yeah, I don't like those guys. I do not like those guys as defensive ends.
So let's recap the last five picks. The Rams took Steve Avila, the offensive guard from TCU. Then Derek Hall from Auburn, the outside linebacker, goes to Seattle at 37. With the seventh pick of the second round, Matthew Bergeron from Syracuse, the offensive guard, was taken by the Falcons. Then Jonathan Mingo, while we were gone, goes to Carolina, the 6'2 wide receiver from Ole Miss. And then Isaiah Foskey just was taken from the Saints. And now, interestingly enough, guys, Cardinals, Packers, Jets, and the Cards pick is in after they had traded down earlier in the round, Adrian.
You know what? I was just going to say, if Isaiah Foskey ends up having a great career, is he the new Foss, Steve? Ooh. Is he the new Foss? And then now transitioning into these next three picks, it could go anywhere. Cardinals, Packers, Jets, it can go anywhere there.
Foss, I never thought about that. Is it possible we have a new Foss?
Not a new Foss, an additional Foss. An additional
Foss. There can never be a true replacement to Foss.
There's no replacement. There's additions, though. We love additions. We love additions.
Well, that's a good point. and by the way, there is nobody in the NFL named Foss. There are Fosters, but there's no Fosses. So
that's nickname.
Have you ever met Barry Foster, the former Steelers running back?
No, but Adrian Foster from the Texans. You know, I'm with those guys.
Did you ever when you've met Adrian Foster? Did you call him Foss, or is there another name for him?
No, I told him. I said, great last name. We are the Foster family.
Ah.
It was very formal.
Okay, it sounds like it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, this guy was a legit running back for the Texans and in the NFL. So I told him, hey, man, appreciate it. 23 and 20 for life.
There you go. Any predictions on what the Cardinals are going to do, Adrian? What do you think?
Well, they have a lot of needs here at this spot. Defensive tackle and defensive end seem to be a trend right here, so maybe they go that direction. If I was the Cardinals right here, some of the best available guys, I like the Wisconsin product that is Keanu Benton. He's a defensive tackle, a run stopper. He could be a good selection right there. If they go the edge rusher position, maybe they go Keon White from Georgia Tech. I was informed that he was also at the draft room yesterday, and he did not get selected in the first round.
I like that. I like that. Keon White, the Georgia Tech product. Again, somebody that can move but big, that can hold that edge and try to disrupt, you know, those counter plays, those off-tackle lead plays with the pulling offensive linemen. So that would be a good pick.
Well, again, we should have it here shortly, and then we'll break and come back with our final 30 minutes here on Sports Talk. Packers and Jets will be selecting after Arizona, who, once again, the pick is in. Now it's just a matter of when they make it, and we'll get the opportunity to announce it. I'll tell you what, we're long overdue for a break. Let's take it. We'll recap everything when we come back. Adrian will give you what you've missed to start SportsCenter at the top of the hour here on 600 ESPN El Paso.